WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now threatening a 200% tariff on European wine, champagne, and spirits if the European Union goes forward with the planned tariff on American whiskey that it announced this week. Those tariffs were in retaliation to the original 25% tariffs the Trump administration slapped on European steel and aluminum. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Canada meeting with EU and Canadian leaders about some of this and other issues. A big storm is ramping up in Southern California. Evacuations are underway in fire-scarred areas of Los Angeles. ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee has more on the rain.
Flood watches from Anaheim and Los Angeles eventually down to San Diego throughout the morning hours here. So let me take you through the timing. San Diego is going to be the heaviest here, 6 a.m. Pacific time. Into the mountains east of San Diego, you'll even see some of that snow developing at the higher elevations. That's going to make travel difficult.
A long line of those storms now moving further east. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Oshkosh Common Council approved a resolution Tuesday night that will make the city a sponsor of the Oshkosh Pride event at Leach Amphitheater in June. According to the resolution, sponsoring Oshkosh Pride will require no city cash outlay, but will allow the nonprofit organization free use of the Leach Amphitheater. Council member DJ Nichols.
And I think we can differentiate as a council between organizations that are profit generating, like Waterfest, and organizations that are trying to do something really good in our community for a group of people that might not otherwise have the chance to identify their community in Oshkosh, who their friends should be. And I think we do a really good job as a local government of not only ensuring that people have homes and houses, but making sure that they feel like that they're home too. And this event accomplishes that. It wouldn't otherwise exist in a place like Oshkosh.
The vote to sponsor the nonprofit event was not unanimous. Council members Paul Esslinger and Jacob Flohm voted against it. 40-year-old Joshua Denault, who faced 16 charges of sexual exploitation and child enticement, entered a no-contest plea in Brown County Court this week. The former Green Bay tennis coach is accused of taking several upskirt photographs of girls he was coaching. Judge Thomas Walsh found him guilty of the 6 felony child sex offenses he was charged with. Denault is out on bond, but will be sentenced on May 20th. Police from 4 additional law enforcement agencies helped the Menasha police find and arrest a person who was seen carrying a rifle near Menasha High School Wednesday afternoon. The high school was placed on lockdown, and the suspect was found quickly. Names have not been released. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
Big Ten tournament action today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament. They take on the Northwestern Wildcats, who beat Minnesota yesterday 72-64 to advance to today's round. Head coach Greg Gard asked if he spent much time breaking down why his team lost at home last weekend to Penn State.
I probably have dissected it deeper and more intensely and harder than anybody else, just because I knew it wasn't one right now we needed to spend a lot of time on as a team. I did, because I wanted to really dissect the issues.
In New York, the Marquette Golden Eagles against Xavier today in the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. NFL free agency Packers center Josh Myers leaving Green Bay, signing a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon, who missed last season with a neck injury, signing a one-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We are tracking a storm system that could bring showers, even a few thunder showers, late tomorrow into tomorrow night. Rain and eventually some rain changing to snow by Sunday. It's going to be windy too. But for now, sunshine today, 58 tomorrow. We'll get to the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Dom Selvia.
Producer Jess P.S. here. Next time, Dom's back with Earl Ingram as co-host to discuss the ever-expanding campaign for Supreme Court of Wisconsin. Join us.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your pleasure?
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go to let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Cardi, if there's anybody who plays any more diverse music than me, who is it? You know.
I'm about to ask you, is he going to bring out the cardboard box?
No, man, you know, all music, man. You know, I love all sorts of music. But anyway, we're going to be joined by former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He'll be joining us any minute. We're going to talk about why it's so important, you know, with the Supreme Court election, you know, and, you know, I was watching the debate last night with Susan Crawford.
Okay.
And who was that stiff that was on there with her, man? Who was that stiff? Brad Schimmel.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, the amazing thing is I listened to Brad Schimmel on conservative talk radio before, you know, he even appeared yesterday. And I can tell you this and why it's so critically important. You can listen to Earl Ingram today and listen to him tomorrow and listen to him 365 days from now, and you're going to get the same Earl Ingram. I'm not going to change. This is who I am. And I think people should expect people to be who they are. And not change as they're in different venues. But Brad Schimmel on conservative talk radio yesterday was a guy who was doing nonstop conversation about, you know, Republicans, and you know, he was entertaining the dialogue, conservative talking points, nonstop, kicking it. And okay, and so this is kind of who I am. You know, I'm supporting. You got to understand, I'm going to support the conservative way all the way through. That's who Brad Schimmel is. He wasn't hiding any of that yesterday on conservative Squawk Radio. But what Brad Schimmel did do, as I listened to him on a debate last night, he changed who he was. Man, he changed who he was. Now, he can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. He couldn't fool me because I heard him yesterday afternoon. He was a different guy last night before the cameras. He was a guy trying to sound reasonable. He was a guy trying to sound like, hey, I'm not with those conservative guys. Okay? I'm going to be fair. And you're going to be able to trust me because I'm one of you. Well, listen, Brad Schimmel, be the same person that you are all the time. So, you know, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, I've known for a long time. And I can tell you, it doesn't matter whether I see Mandela today or tomorrow or next week or next year, he's going to be the same guy. He's going to be saying the same thing, and you know that's who he is. Brad Schimmel changed. He changed just in less than 10 hours. He was on conservative talk radio, and he was all in for everything that Donald Trump and the conservative movement, you know, is. But then when he came on the debate stage last night, he tried to get people to believe, well, I'm not really with those guys. Well, good morning, former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. How you doing, man?
It's always a good time when I get to hop on the show. So feeling all right. What about you?
Hey, man, so I'm just saying, man, you're always the same guy. You never change. Shouldn't we expect that?
Well, the one thing I will say is, you know, some change is certainly necessary, but we're looking at the short span of time. We're talking about one day where Brad Schimmel is one person on the radio versus the person he is on a debate. And I know a lot of shapeshifters, a lot of people who do that, like depending on the setting, they are a different person. Now, that's the real problem. It's like there's zero consistency in them as people. And it's like, why should we trust them to make the decisions that impact our daily lives when they don't even have their own act together?
Well, I mean, clearly he's misleading people, you know? I mean, just be who you are. And if that's not good enough, then so be it. But he changed like a chameleon, man, in less than 10 hours. He was portraying this image of somebody who's reasonable and that if you vote for me, you're going to get, you know, fair and balanced a person on the Supreme Court. But that's not, you know, who he is. Your thoughts, go ahead.
No, absolutely. I mean, he was the attorney general of the state for 4 years. I mean, you just have to look at his record during that 4 year span to know exactly who he is. And also, we got to think about the fact that this person was appointed by Scott Walker to serve on the Waukesha Circuit Court. So make no mistake, Scott Walker was not appointing any moderates to any judicial position. So let's be real clear about how he got to the point where he is. But, you know, Susan Crawford certainly handled her own and called out a lot of his BS yesterday. And I was very proud to see that.
I tell you, man, you know, I had her on the show several weeks back. I didn't know her at the time. And when we had her on and we had a conversation, you know, you don't really get to know a person for the first time. And, you know, especially over the airwaves, but last night she was very strong and she was determined and she refused to be bullied. She refused to be misquoted. And man, that's kind of what you're looking for, man. You know, I mean, I was really surprised and encouraged by her strength, you know, and not being bullied and not backing down. You've seen the tactics before. You ran for United States Senate, and they use the same tactics on you that they're using on her.
Oh, for sure. And it's not a new playbook at all. And we just saw it go into overdrive during my campaign.
Right.
It was obviously very, you know, disgusting. But the fact is, you know, Susan Crawford has a proven record. And this is the difference between a person who is comfortable in the work that they have done versus somebody who is trying to figure it out on the fly and decide who he wants to be at what point in time. And it showed very clear in Susan Crawford's presentation versus Brad Schimmel's presentation.
You know, Mandela, how critically important, we hear people say it, there's been well over $60 million. This is an all-time record. We know the last time there was a state Supreme Court seat available. Record-breaking number of dollars were spent. And this time, even more so, it does kind of show how important this seat is, right?
Well, it shows how important the seat is, but it also shows just what the gross influence of money in politics, what that has become. I mean, there's no reason that these races should be this expensive. There's no reason any race should be this expensive. And the fact that you have the world's most wealthy individual, the richest man on the entire planet, is putting his influence in this race the same way that he did with the presidential election. You see how that's turning out for everyday working people. You see how it's turned out for people who went into a career of public service to do the public good, to make life a little better for the rest of us, being purged. And I don't want that stink on our Supreme Court. And effectively, that's what will happen. Brad Schimmel could deny it all he wants to, but there is a reason why Elon Musk is spending this sort of money. He doesn't just spend money to spend money. Sometimes it looks foolish, like when he bought Twitter, but now he has vast control over this large social media empire that has turned into a racist hellscape. And now we see this purging at the federal government the same way he did at Twitter, trying to turn this country effectively into the same sort of territory. And there shouldn't even be consideration for allowing his influence on our court in Wisconsin. It should be a non-starter for everybody. I'm not willing to take that chance.
You know, man, I heard him say, she's getting money from the worst guy in the world, George Soros, and he was anti this and he was anti that. And I'm like, hey, come on, man.
You know? They invoke this man's name, but have yet to say a single thing that they have an issue with. We're talking about a man like whose family, you know, fled the Nazis, right? Like it's not even hypocritical. It's just disingenuous.
Well, he's against funding the police. Hey, man, he's against crime. George Soros, come on, man. You know it. That works for some. And hopefully people are tired of that same old playbook, right? They shouldn't fall for it anymore. 855-752-4842. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. I'm going to stop saying former Lieutenant Governor. What is your title now?
And former Lieutenant Governor is fine. Okay. I wear a lot of hats. I wear a lot of hats.
All right. That one I can always remember. 855-752-4842. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is on the dais, and you can join us on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
With major changes coming out of Washington, our Wisconsin Supreme Court could be the last line of defense for our rights. The ACLU Voter Education Fund does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants you to cast an informed vote in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. So where do the candidates land on issues like abortion? Here are the facts. Brad Schimmel stated he supports banning abortion. Susan Crawford supports access to reproductive health care and successfully protected abortion rights while representing Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. On April 1st, Wisconsin voters will make a critical decision about the future of abortion in our state. To learn more about the Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates, visit aclu.org/WI2025. Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. My guest is former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. You know, Mandela, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you to say, give the greetings to your mom and dad.
I will be sure to do that.
Yeah, man. Hey, tell him I said hello. Let me ask you, let's go to the phone lines first. Let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Well, I say we are never going to get to the people who support the MAGA candidates because I'm driving in areas where the MAGA areas are and there's nothing but bread, symbol signs everywhere. But hopefully the moderates and independents are going to start coming around and realizing what's going on, because we're never going to win over the megas, never.
You know, Mandela, you want to respond to?
I remember I got in a little bit of trouble in 2018 when I said, you know, if they voted for Donald Trump, we'll just have to find voters elsewhere. I got in trouble for that. But the fact is, we have seen a constant decline, one, in Black voter participation since the 2012 election. There are folks across the state in more rural communities who have also stopped showing up as well. And it's because people don't oftentimes see Democrats as a party that's going to fight for them. And that is going to be, it has been disastrous for us. It was disastrous in 2016. It was disastrous in 2024. The reality is our biggest swing voter is the people who just don't show up to vote, but could be otherwise convinced if they felt compelled to, based on the candidate, based on the messages, based on what they are hearing. But unfortunately, it feels, or even just through conversation, like whether it's casual conversation or reports from the doors from our organizers at Power to the Polls, like people are constantly saying they want Democrats to show up and fight before they are compelled to show up and vote. And you look in Congress right now, where, you know, everybody I talk to doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter demographic, doesn't matter where they're from. They are always asking, well, where are the Democrats in Congress right now? I'm not there, so I can't answer that question. But what I can say, like, even if they're in, and I do truly believe some people are working on something, but if the people aren't feeling it, just like throughout the 2024 election cycle, there was all this talk about how well the economy was performing, the best performing economy. If the people aren't feeling it, which they weren't, because they were still paying higher prices and still getting paid the same amount, they weren't feeling it. So that economic message did not resonate with them, instead of a plan to drive down costs, which should have been what we led with. And it is the same way. If people don't see or feel that Democrats are working for them, even if a whole lot of work is happening behind the scenes, it will not matter come election time.
So Mandel, I have to ask you, man, because I'm frustrated. As a man who for 52 years has always voted Democrat, never voted Republican, never will. I don't believe in their policies, just straight up. But for people who say the Democrats didn't do anything for us and they haven't, what did they think the Republicans have done for them? And what are they doing for them right now? Look, farmers and people in rural America who supported Donald Trump, he's kicking them in the teeth. Republican policies are treating them worse than Democrats ever did. So how is it possible then that those very people who keep saying the Democrats didn't do anything for us, in light of what the Republicans are doing to them and getting ready to do to them, there's going to come a time when they're going to be on their knees begging for relief from the very people that they supported?
And it's happening. It's happening. Right now. Look at the number of people that voted for Donald Trump who are getting fired from the federal workforce. Like, this is actually happening. And my thing has always been, look, there are a lot of people who went out and voted for Donald Trump because they thought that he was going to bring down the hammer on this community, on that community.
Right, right.
It was sort of a vote of aggression because we felt that, you know, these people are getting too many rights.
That's
like,
true.
This is happening. This shouldn't be happening. And not realizing how vulnerable they were to the wrath of this president. And now they're feeling it. Now they are a marginalized community themselves because they are out of work.
You know, Mandela, so, because if I hear again, you know, constantly about the Democrats didn't do this, the Democrats didn't do that. And so you look at the state of Wisconsin, it was almost all red. Okay? And so the people, he's not only going to hurt the people in urban America, but they're getting ready to do major damage to the farmers. Right? His policies worse, and they're going to be wishing that Joe Biden was back, who did things to augment and to support farmers, right? You say what you will, but today is a different day. And you know, you're a Democrat. And so I agree that there's some things that Democrats need to do different, but for heaven's sakes, voting Republican doesn't fix that, man. It exacerbates it.
Voting Republican or not voting at all doesn't fix
right.
it. And that's a message I try to drive home to people. Like, still show up. And if you're frustrated, if you're upset by something, that's all the more reason to show up.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is my guest. You can join us again. 855-752-4842 on the Earl Ingram Show.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your
Turn
eyes.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and
You're
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Trump administration layoffs at the National Weather Service have experts concerned. Here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
The weather guys, UW-Madison meteorology professors Jonathan Martin and Steve Ackerman, say any pullback of the severe weather forecast provided by National Weather Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration could put lives at risk. Ackerman says many employees being described as probationary are in fact experienced professionals at the agencies. Martin says the services provided by the National Weather Service and NOAA cannot be easily or quickly replicated. There are National Weather Service offices in La Crosse, Green Bay, and Milwaukee Sullivan, and offices in the Twin Cities and Duluth serving western Wisconsin. The numbers to be let go at the Weather Service and National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration remain unclear.
Last night, police were called to Little Lake Butamore, south of the 9th Street boat landing in Menasha, to a report of a man yelling in the lake. Officers tried to reach the 67-year-old man with a throwable floating life disc, but they were not successful. An officer went into the lake to bring the man to shore. He was taken to the hospital, where he died. No other details have been released. A body was found in a wooded area off South Lake Street in Manitowoc Wednesday morning. Manitowoc police say foul play does not appear to be a factor in the person's death. The investigation, which will include an autopsy, is still ongoing. Anyone with information is asked to call Manitowoc police or Crime Stoppers. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dolly Parton told Oprah Winfrey that she thought she would be a great mother. Parton elaborated, saying she and her recently deceased husband, Carl Thomas Dean, ultimately decided not to have kids because Parton wanted the freedom to pursue her career and be a mother to all children. That is so Dolly Parton. Parton said at one point they even had a name picked out if they had a girl, but decided against it. I'm guessing it was Dolly Jr.? Billy Joel is putting his health before his tour. The 75-year-old music icon has wisely chosen to postpone working the road so he can rehab after a recent medical procedure. Joel's camp says he will take 4 months away from performing to get his health back. Joel expects to make a full recovery and will resume his tour in Pittsburgh on July 5th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are tracking a storm system that could bring showers, even a few thunder showers, late tomorrow into tomorrow night. Rain and eventually some rain changing to snow by Sunday. It's going to be windy too. But for now, sunshine today, 58 tomorrow. We'll get to the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
At Captain's Walk Winery, we believe wine should be fun, not complicated. Whether you're winding down after a long day or catching up with friends, grab a glass and some small bites in our cozy, welcoming, historic atmosphere. The Walk is ideal for celebrating any occasion, from intimate get-togethers to larger groups. We'll see you at The Walk on South Adams Street in downtown Green Bay, where great wine and great company always come together.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we'll be joined by Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, to talk about the people versus Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, Texas, that same number. My guess is former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So, Mandela, as you've now kind of left the political arena for now, and for the first time in, wow, how long, man?
Well, I can't say that I'm fully left, you know.
I know, but you're not holding an office, and you're not running for
not holding an office for sure. Well, remember, I did have a little brief period, you know, between 2017 and 19, between the assembly and lieutenant governor.
Right.
But you know, and that's the thing too. I'm comfortable enough, you know, not being in office, and that's one thing that happens too often is there seems to be sometimes a dependency on the title, and people feel as if they can't be active or be productive or be helpful or be a part of the conversation without that title, which is absolutely, you know, not true. And having a chance right now to still work on the things that have been important to me for so long, whether it's the clean energy work, whether it's the democracy work, getting people out to vote, creating jobs, like this is the work I have a chance to do and be a part of. And it's exciting for me. I get to work with the same partners in organized labor. I get to work with the same partners, even in elected office all across the state. And sometimes, I'm not going to lie, right? You know, there are parts I certainly do miss. But, you know, I'd be lying if I said I was fully removed. I'm still here and I'm going to be active. I'm going to maintain a presence, especially as this moment calls for it, like not never before.
Do you feel unshackled?
No, not yet.
Well, and so the reason I asked the question is you see congressmen and senators who've been there for 35, 40 years, and that's who they are. And so somewhere along the line, you have to lose yourself in that. And the person that you were prior to being engaged, your thoughts, man, on somebody being in, you know, public office. We hear people say it for 35, 40 years. And then it almost appears as though they've got to hold on to it and sometimes maybe lose themselves in it or forget why they're there in the first place.
So I'll say the most important part about that, it's not necessarily the time, right? Like it is the effectiveness. If a person has been in office, whether it's the same office or multiple offices over the span of time, if they're actually putting in the work, if they are actually getting things done, if they are actually showing up and maintaining a presence, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, right? Like, and I do support term limits for sure. I think there should be term limits. But, you know, as it stands, like, I'm not going to say that a person who's been there for some time and is still effective just has to go based on the fact they haven't been there unless there were term limits in place to be all for it.
Right.
Because I know some people who have been in office for very little amount of time and do nothing in the short time that they've had. You don't hear from them on the most critical issues, like people who are freshly elected, who should have the best ideas, who should be, you know, the most emboldened to go out there and, you know, make us think about what's going on and have some sort of presence or pushback to what's going on. And you don't see that. Like, I know a lot of inactive young elected officials, which is the most heartbreaking and depressing.
I'm glad you said that, man, because I see it myself, and they see it as a career path. And, you know, in a representative government, that's a cancer. Because the people can't be represented, and the people can only speak through the voices of the people they elect.
It's a lack of bravery, man. It's a lack of bravery.
Yeah. Well, let's go to Don from Madison. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning. I just have to get this off my chest. Long time ago, my mother told me that you have to be a little bit crazy in order to be a politician and a leader. Such as the ones that are in charge of our country right now. And I just got to put it out there. They look a little nuts lately. They look physically and mentally crazy.
Do you mean both sides? Both sides?
I wanted to put my two cents in.
No. So do you mean both sides of the aisle?
No, the ones that are in charge right now, they look mentally crazy.
Well, it's because it's because their policies are that, and their policies don't jive with the average everyday person, right? Okay, and so they don't have the courage to resist. They see bad policies that's going to impact and affect their own citizens. And they don't have the power or the strength to say no. Hey, Don, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning, Mr. Barnes. Hey, you know, and I'm responding to the comment that the Democratic Party didn't do this and Democratic Party didn't do that. And I say BS to that. Today's public, it seems, really knows how to cop out and not really own their part of what it takes to live in a free republic. You know, it just seems to me that the power of the people, we don't understand it. We kind of lost it somewhere. Look what happened in Van Orton, I think, district when he wouldn't show up. When still hundreds and hundreds of people showed up to the public facility for this representative who chose not to show up. But who did? A true public servant, Mark Polkan, and others. If people organize, and there's enough people, lay people, you know, demonstrating and voicing their opinions, leaders will come out of that group. Leaders will find that group and begin to, you know, join forces and come together. But the first thing that has to happen, in my opinion, and please give me your opinion as well, is we the people have to stand up. We have to say enough is enough. And all of a sudden things, you know, get the momentum going so we can somehow separate the public servants from the self-servants during the primary part of the election process and not after they're elected. What do you think about that?
Hey Mike, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, if I could take both of those last calls, I'll take the most recent one. And, you know, I don't want this to be a blanket statement when I say when people ask where are the Democrats, because there are, you know, we do have people who are fighting. It also goes back to my previous point about, you know, people having been in office for a while but are still showing up and doing the work. And so for sure, this is certainly happening. And when I say this, I mean, you know, writ large, right? Like there should have been zero people who voted for the zero Democrats who voted for the censure of Al Green.
Right.
There should be more people who are showing up all across the country, putting in the effort instead of saying, well, maybe I can try to work with him. This isn't a time to try to work. This is not a normal administration, as you know. And your whole point about the people showing up is the most important part to remember. And I've said this so many times before, it hasn't been the politicians, it's been the people that have led the way and led the sort of revolts against what we're dealing with right now. 100% agree with you on that. And I hope that not only you stay in, but you get a handful more people that get involved, that also get a handful more people to get involved, because that's how we begin to change things.
Right.
And the part, you know, the caller before who mentioned, you know, the appearance of people, it's like, you can only lie to people for so long before it starts weighing on you and honestly having a physical impact on you as a person. And these are people who are lying every day, showing up, defending some of the most grotesque actions in government that we have ever seen in our lifetime. In fact, not some of the most, it is the most, it is the worst. I try to, like, you know, be cautious. I'm still under 40, so I try to be cautious when I say in our lifetimes, but the people I've talked to who are over twice my age say that this is the worst that they have ever seen. So I have to take their word for it.
It is no question. It's the worst in my 70 years. It's the worst we've seen by far. Nothing compares to it. Let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what? Tom from Richland Center. Tom.
Tom from LA.
Okay, Tom from LA.
You hear me?
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, listen, you think things were bad when George Bush was in there and they were going after Iraq and stuff. That makes it look like Sunday school. I wanted to mention the money in politics thing you guys were talking about a few minutes ago. I ran for state assembly in 08, and back then you could get public financing for a small percentage of your campaign if you decided not to take corporate money. And I did that, and I was one of the few people. And the people running the local Democratic Party, the state party, were really mad at me for doing that and that I wouldn't take the big money. And then, of course, with Act 10 and all that, Walker threw that all away. But if we had complete public financing of all elections and reasonable numbers, this whole thing would just be so different. But even the Dems don't want to do that. We also had Healthy Wisconsin in 08 that I ran on, that we were told by the Dems not to run on it. But the state Senate, which was Dem-controlled, had passed it. It was made with Kathleen Vineout and Urban Bach and a few other people and a bunch of labor people and university people, business people, got together and figured out a plan. Turns out it was way better than Obamacare. It would have let families in a rural area like I live in have $6,000 more a year to spend in town. Well, if every family around here spent $6,000 more in town, can you imagine what that would do every year to the economy?
Hey.
And also make people healthy? And anyway, those are things the Dems decided not to do. The people who decided not to do that are in charge of the Democratic Progressive
Caucus. Okay, so what did the Republicans do?
Oh, they're trying to chop the heck out of it.
But Tom, that's the part of this that I don't understand. We can continue to hammer away at what the Democrats didn't do, and so then people turn around and vote for Republicans, and it's
or not vote.
Yeah, or not vote, and it's a total wipeout.
Oh, I'm not saying we're not going to vote Democratic if we have to, you know, if that's what the choice is, but you're asking what the Democrats did wrong. They gave up on the things that would have made a huge difference for the regular people, and it's because they went corporate in the whatever.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Yeah. Do you know what he's talking about, Mandela? They went corporate.
No, I wasn't around at that time.
I'm talking about people even say that now. That the Democrats went corporate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the Wisconsin.
Or also that the Democrats spent more time, they were more focused on urban America than they were on rural America. And as a person who lives in urban America, I don't know where they got that from. Because if you go through our neighborhoods and communities, I don't see where the Democrats have focused on our community. Mandela, do you?
So what I'll say to that point is I've certainly heard it before, and I guess it goes back to the whole point is, you know, as a Democrat, as somebody who is going to continue to be one, whether I'm in office again or not, if that's the way people are feeling, if that is the response, then we should rethink strategy. We have to, you know, figure out what our approach is to meet the needs of everybody across the state. And it is not my first time.
All right, hold the thought. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right to you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Sturgeon Spirits in Oshkosh, Timekeeper Distillery in Green Bay and Wausau, and Ledge Rock Distillery LLC in Eden. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.fm and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.fm and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. My guest is former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First, thank you, Mandela, for showing up on Civic Media. We need more people like you on here. Second, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And that's one thing I think Democrats do poorly, is they seem to talk down government. We should be the party of good government. We should be the person that's fighting back against all this negativity towards government. I also think that we need to follow the playbook of the person that won four elections, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We have the playbook. Why are we not following that playbook as Democrats? I think you should run as an FDR Democrat. I am a proud FDR Democrat myself because I went back and studied history. But people should know who it was that brought us Social Security, unemployment, and the rest. Also, ask this question to anybody. In the past 50 years, what policy, what prescription have the Republicans put up or have passed for the average working American person? The answer is zero.
Hey Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brendan. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Good morning. Listen, I just wanted to comment. A couple people have talked about what the Democrats aren't doing. I want to thank Governor Tim Walz for putting himself out there. He's going to be in Des Moines, Iowa, and he's offered to go to any city to a town hall, Republican or Democrat, and talk to the people and not run off. Because as we've seen, the notice has been put out by the RNC for these knuckleheads to stop going to these town halls. And it's very important because it is where the people's voice is heard. And he took it on his shoulders and he said, look, we made a mistake. We obviously didn't message right. And James Hess, please spare us. Linda McMahon running the educational department. You know, why don't we just put Trump's caddy in charge of some other department? But anyway, but long story short, he's out there, he's doing it, and he's talking.
Hey Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from Racine. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
I guess I was a little confused online. I didn't know Mandela was your guest because online I was seeing apparently an old show. I don't know if it's appropriate. I wanted to say a few things about Ukraine. Should I go forth or wait another time?
No, wait for another time. Thank you very much for the call.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. You have a question to come in for former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
Yes. I wanted to refer back to Tom from somewhere or other, to both Toms. First of all, every time that votes have come up and people proposing to make public funding of politics and government, it's Democrats who support it. Democrats vote for it every time they get out, and they get beaten on that vote by the Republicans. And so you want people to—it's business about corporate, whatever. People have to do what they have to do to win an election at that point. That's within the law, and taking corporate donations sometimes is what they need to do. Just the last second thing is referring to all this talk about, I think the talking heads and the press who get to sit on the sidelines and go tut 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 all the time with the Democrats, it becomes their way of making a living, is find out what they can say about the Democrats. Because you know what, there's no secret handshake. I'll bet you more than half of those people on the calling in here complaining about the Democratic Party in one way or another never have worked a day for the Democrats to get elected or to get involved and shape policy. The door is open. There's no secret handshake. Walk in or shut up.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Mandela. You want to respond to that?
Definitely agree. I got with that. Showing up. If you have a complaint, the same thing I talk about, or the same thing I say to people who say they don't want to vote. If you have a complaint, that's all the more reason to show up to vote. If you're frustrated with Democrats or you think they aren't doing enough, show up to a meeting. Work to influence the conversation. And as they say, the cure for ailing democracy is more democracy. The more participation we have, the better off we all are. It is easy to sit and complain about, you know, what the team is doing on the field. But if you aren't out there in the game, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to be very, very direct in that assessment. It's easy enough for us all to get involved and find there are multiple ways. Online, virtually, or in person, which is the most impactful.
Okay, Carter, who's on five? Just put them on.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. During going back to your earlier part of the show, here I go again. During Abraham Lincoln's time, there were Whigs and Tories. I was going to ask if you either of you guys know what Whigs and Tories are. But they coined the phrase mugwumps. And it just came to me while I was waiting that we are inundated with Trumpwumps right now. And I would say Brad Schimmel, we've had a time with him, and it was a disaster.
Hey, ma'am, we got you. We're out of time. Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much. You know, Mandela, I got to bring you back on, man, where we can talk about some many other things. I'm going to be extending the invitation to you, especially with what you're doing now, because it's
for sure. Always happy to show up.
Yeah. All right. That's Mandela Barnes, and thank you, and thank all of you who made the show go. Thank you, Cardi. Up next, Jane Madnair on air. Mandela, tell your parents I said hello. And see you guys later.
All right, see you soon.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Friday's show, we'll welcome Mark Houston with Bell & Sports Medicine and Steve Brandis with Wisconsin Herd, plus live music with McKenna May and Jake Allen in our Heights Pub & Parlor live music series.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration has pulled its nominee to lead the CDC. ABC's Karen Travers reports.
The White House has pulled the nomination of Dave Weldon, a former Florida congressman who was President Trump's pick to lead the Centers for Disease Control, just hours before his scheduled Senate confirmation hearing. That's according to multiple sources familiar with the decision. When he was nominated last year, Weldon, a longtime vaccine skeptic, was championed by allies of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff has arrived in Russia for talks with officials on ending the war in Ukraine. Russia says the proposed 30-day ceasefire on the table that Ukraine has agreed to would give Ukraine's army a break, and because of that, it's not willing to agree to it now. Stocks falling once again, even as we found out today, unemployment claims and wholesale prices held steady last week. The sell-off when President Trump threatened 200% tariffs on European spirits. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa.